Good evening. Would you kindly take your seats? Thank you. I'll call the meeting to order. My name is Myron Fox. And what you see on the screen is the music and the slides that you didn't see last night. I'm honored to preside today what should be the final meeting of our 2008 annual town meeting. As your moderator, I declare a quorum present. Coffee and snacks are being provided this evening by the Noyes PTO 5th grade class. Please turn off all cell phones. Please give your name and address each time you speak clearly in order to assure an accurate record. If you desire to be recognized, just raise your card from your seat, and the runners will give you a mic. Thank you, Boy Scouts, Lef Scramstead, Matt Barnes, Mark Vogel, and Ryan Swan. We see all you. Thank you. All motions to amend must be delivered to me, the town clerk, and the staff of the Viewgraph in writing before they are made. Only registered voters of the town and non-resident town employees may speak without leave of the hall. Non-residents are required to sit in the last two rows to my right and left near the audio AV room. Three nights in a row is tough. Please remember that our bylaws require presenters to speak for no more than a total of 10 minutes and speakers to speak for no more than 5 minutes. Unless you move in the words of the article as printed in the warrant, every presenter must tell the hall of any word changes in the motion and how they differ from the words that voters saw in the warrant. Let me repeat that. If you are a presenter making a motion and your words differ than the words that the voters have seen in the warrant, I would much appreciate it if you told all the voters sitting before you how your motion differs from the words in the article. Majority vote on each article unless we announce otherwise from the podium, and it's also written in the warrant. If there's something that's incorrect there, we will correct it. Anybody who needs a warrant, please pick one up in front of me on the stage. Bathrooms are across the hall from the floor of the auditorium. And they're also, the fire chief has asked me to announce once again the fire exits from both rear doors and both doors on either side of the stage. There's stairs going up. Just go behind the curtain. And I've been asked to announce there's a community blood drive in Sudbury sponsored by the Sudbury Historical Society. Sunday, April 20, 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. at Town Hall with the assistance from Sudbury's companies of Militia and Minute. For your appointment to donate, please call 1-800-448-3543. If you don't get a chance to call, I'm sure they'll take your blood anyway. Article 35, walkways. Mr. Morley, for motion.
Move in the words of the article with $200,000 appropriated.
There's a second. There is. Mr. Morley.
Jody Cadlock, the Director of Community Planning and Development, is going to present.
Good evening. Start that going. I'm here tonight again to speak about walkway construction and appropriation of funds for walkways in Sudbury. I think I'll just say slide, okay? This is the third time that I've been here before you speaking about this as a CPA appropriation, so this is not a new topic. The town has used its funds wisely over the past 4 years, and we're back again for another appropriation. I'll go through my presentation rather quickly since most of you have probably heard it already. But walkway construction began in Sudbury in the 1960s, and to date we have over 40 miles of walkways along 160 miles of roads. The walkways, again, were predominantly funded through town meeting articles, either through the operating budget or capital budgets. That's how it used to be funded, and over the past 5 years it's been funded through CPA funds. Developer contributions through permitting process has also added well over approximately $100,000 to our walkway fund over the last 7 years. And sometimes walkways are also built by developers in projects in proximity to areas that don't have walkways. All of these efforts have virtually eliminated the need to include walkway funding in the town's operating budget in recent years, and we're fortunate to have the ability to fund these projects with CPA funds as an eligible use. If you can go to the first slide. This is our current walkway map. The red are the walkway priority areas. Those are the areas that we have been focusing on in the past several years. There are still many neighborhoods in town which need and desire walkways. These are typically areas that have a significant population of residential homes, or they're in close proximity to a school or a town recreation area, or by virtue of the narrowness of the road, that provides no opportunities for pedestrians. The Walkway Master Plan, which was completed in the year 2000, identified at least 16 additional miles of roadways that needed walkways. Dutton Road, Haynes Road, Marlboro Road, Powers Road, Dakin Road, Pantry Road, Union Avenue, and parts of Old Lancaster Road are all listed in that report. This article requests $200,000 of CPA funds to construct walkways townwide. As I said, town meeting has approved two previous allocations of CPA funds in the amount of $100,000 each. That was in 2004 and 2006. And walkways were constructed on Willis Road, and if you can go to the next slide, Mark. Willis Road, Raymond Road, and Dakin Road. You can hold there. And the remainder has been committed for a second section of Willis Road and the completion of the Peckham Road walkway. So we are continuing the program very actively. This $200,000 will enable the Department of Public Works to construct approximately 2 miles of walkways over the next 2 years. So you won't see me next year. Over the past several years, walkways have also been constructed on Peckham Road, Maynard Road, and there we go, Concord Road, Horse Pond Road, Landham Road, Route 20, Mossman, Haynes, North Road, and Old County Road. Any of you who live in or near those neighborhoods know firsthand how necessary these walkways are and how the ability to safely move around your neighborhood has increased since their construction. These walkways do provide residents the ability to recreate right out of doors, out of your front door. And our current method of constructing walkways has been cost-effective and successful. We've engaged residents in gathering support in their neighborhoods, and we've reduced staff time in planning the walkways. The construction itself is divided by tasks. Some is contracted out. Much of it is done in-house by the DPW department, and we're able to contain costs in this manner. And our recent walkways have been sensitive to the nature of scenic roads, and they've been creatively designed to be both safe and attractive, and I think the pictures have shown that. The location of where these walkways will be built has not yet been determined. There are several resident petitions under consideration, and we were open for resident petitions from about October through February, and we did receive several. The walkway committee report will be the basis for expenditure of any of the funds approved, and residents who wish to have their streets have a walkway on their streets should contact either my department or the Department of Public Works, and we'll consider additional petitions throughout the year. A public forum will be held by the Planning Board later this spring to prioritize the use of the funds if this article is passed. None of this money will be spent on maintaining existing walkways. That is not eligible as a CPA expense. Walkway maintenance is funded in the DPW operating budget, and there have been major maintenance to some of the oldest walkways in town over the past couple of years, including Morse Road, Pratt's Mill Road, Peckham, Hudson, and Concord Roads. And that was all done in the DPW operating budget. All funds under this article will fund new walkways, and that is an eligible expense, again, under the CPA. Thank you.
Finance Committee? Recommends approval?
Yes.
Thank you. John Dravinsky, Selectman.
Yes, Ms. Moderator, good evening. Thank you very much. The Board of Selectmen unanimously support this article.
Thank you. Anybody wish to be heard on Article 35? Signify, raise your card, please. Everybody loves walkways. That's terrific. Okay, all those in favor of Article 35 signify by raising your cards. All those opposed? It is unanimous save for a couple. It passes by well more than a majority. We will move on to Article 36, General Budget of the CPC. Mr. Morley.
I will read this because it is different from what's in your warrant. The main difference really is just that as we proceeded last night, we were able to come up with the numbers that get plugged into this article. Move to appropriate the sums as recommended by the Community Preservation Committee in the following Community Preservation Budget for FY09. Said sums to be raised by FY09 Community Preservation surtaxes. $95,000 administrative and operating costs, $690,073 debt service, $100,000 Knobscot Phase 1 interest, and further to reserve the following funds, $163,612 for historic preservation, $186,715 for budgeted unrestricted CPC uses.
Does that receive a second? It does. Mr. Morley.
This is the 12th article for the community preservation. It's just our housekeeping article for the town accountant to put the monies where they belong. It's detailed in your warrant committee report. I'm happy to take questions, but it's all in there, and I think we can just move on, hopefully.
Thank you. Does anyone have any questions about Article 36 or have any comment to make? Anyone wants to get home and watch the Red Sox game? All those in favor of Article 36 signify by raising your cards. All those opposed? It passes unanimously. Before hearing the next article, I just have a few announcements. Most importantly, I'm announcing the reappointment of Robert Jacobson. Can you raise your hand there, please? Do we have Bob Jacobson here? Not here?
He's on his
Bob
way.
Jacobson is not here?
He will be. He will be. That's true. What do they need him for?
Is this the same Robert Jacobson that made the presentation for LS Regional High School budget? Thank you. The second reappointment is Vice Chair of the Finance Committee, Marty Raganese. Marty, could you just stand up? Been doing a terrific job. Thank you. And lastly, in our newest appointee, Jamie Gossels. Come on, Jamie, stand up. I'd like to thank the entire Finance Committee, particularly the Chairman, Chuck Woodard. They're very long hours and excellent work during these very difficult financial times. They do a terrific job. And I'd also like to thank Lynn Perot, the Public Access Coordinator, Maureen Valente, the town manager, Jeff Winston, Cable TV Committee, Mary McCormick and Patty Golden at the Selectman's Office, Rosemary Harvell, the town clerk, Judy Newton, the assistant town clerk, Elaine Jones, Andrea Turkelson, finance director, Mark Thompson, our technology administrator. All these people I've asked to do things for town meeting, and they've graciously done everything, and I thank them all. We should also remember the poor checkers who checked you in outside, who don't get a chance except for a counted vote to vote. They've been doing a good job. The runners, our Boy Scouts, we already thanked. The snack servers, the LS staff who mic'd all this, the auditorium as well as the cafeteria in case we need it. The LS building maintenance crew. And I think lastly, but certainly not least, did I mention Elaine Jones? Oh, I have to mention Elaine Jones twice. But lastly, Town Council Paul Kenny, who's been attending 30 years of Sudbury annual town meetings as town council. He's been giving me sage advice for the last 5 years. That doesn't mean the prior years were not sage advice. It's just I wasn't in this position. If I've missed anyone, I apologize. Most of all, I'd like to thank you. You guys have been doing a terrific job of legislating. We've had a very good annual town meeting. At our the first night, we had 536 people on a non-override budget. The second night, we had 440. And we have well more than 100, which is our quorum tonight. So thank you all for coming out and legislating. But having said that, I would like to ask again if anyone wishes to be the Sudbury representative to Minuteman Regional Vocational Technical School District Committee. Please notify the Selectman's office. Those of you who are afraid of the Selectman, I make the appointment. But if you send it into the Selectman, they'll send it over to me. It's not a huge commitment. It's once a month with a meeting at Minuteman. It's once a year meeting with the Finance Committee and going over the budget, and the Superintendent of Schools will help you do that if you need the help. And it's meeting with the Selectmen once a year, updating them on what's going on at Minuteman. So please, please volunteer to do that. And lastly, if there's any town official who was just elected at the election a week ago but not sworn in, or any of the people that I've just appointed, please see the assistant town clerk after we adjourn in order to get sworn in. We're now on Article 37. I have just one disclosure to make. A client of mine owns land abutting but not in the proposed historic district. As I wish to avoid even the appearance of perceived partiality, I will turn over the microphone to the assistant moderator, Fred Pryor.
Good evening. Thank you, Mr. Moderator. Article 37, Cheryl Salatino to make the motion.
Cheryl Salatino, 14 Maple Avenue. I'm here to present Article 37.
Will you make the motion, please, first?
I'd like to make a motion to move that the town create a new historic district as authorized by Section 12 of Chapter 40 of the Acts of 1963 to be known as the George Pitts Tavern Historic District and bounded and described as shown on the screen.
Is there a second? There is a second. Ms. Salatino for the presentation.
Thank you. There is a map that will probably help you understand the changes from the warrant. On the screen, you see the changes that were made from the warrant article, and if we can have the map, it describes very detailed in the description that you saw originally how it has changed. Ultimately, we have eliminated everything from the private way on Maple Avenue. We have a public and private way on our street. We have ended the historic district at the public way, and we have exempted on Route 20 the Aragon Arts property. So that those are, and that is at 395 Boston Post Road. So that will hopefully make it a little easier for you to understand what you're looking for, looking at as a difference. Okay, let's go. Maple Avenue, if you have never been on it, is a very charming, very different neighborhood than we often see today. And the residents at Maple Avenue are trying our best to preserve the character of our neighborhood. One of the things that we wanted to help the town understand is that as part of South Sudbury, we have a historic neighborhood where there was some interesting things that happened. And on part of the property that is now 7 Maple Avenue, George Pitts Tavern was a very well-frequented place. And not just for the tavern, and not just for the owners, but also for the fact that town meetings were also held there. And so certain things were raised and exciting things happened in the town at the time. And we talk about those as sort of very definitive decisions about what happened in Sudbury. But for the most part, what we're trying to preserve is the fact that there was and there continues to be history being made in South Sudbury. The history goes on. We have older homes on the street. We have homes that were built in the 1800s. We have homes that were built much later. But you'll see as you go down our street that it represents the evolution of architecture through Sudbury. And it's over time that you could see how things have changed but remained very quiet and small and evolving in a very busy business district. And so we're still in a very busy business district, but when you come down our street, you realize that you're somewhere special. We'd like to be a historic district. We're looking to you, the town, today to help us preserve and protect our neighborhood for all of us. If you have any questions, I'm happy to answer them.
Thank you. Thank you, Ms. Valentino. Finance Committee, Sharon, Sheila Stewart.
Finance Committee takes no position on this article.
Planning Board.
Planning Board supports the article.
John Drabinski for the Selectmen.
The Board of Selectmen unanimously support this article.
Obviously, the map that was put up there differs from the map that you saw in your warrant, and it's a little bit reduced size of the district. Those who would like to speak, please raise your cards. Yes, sir. Wait, can you wait until we get the microphone?
Thomas Holliker, 623 Concord Road. Could someone explain what the practical consequences are to the various owners of homes on Maple Avenue if this district is actually established? I mean, would there be restrictions on the color that a house could be painted or the way it could be restored? I just would like some sense of what is involved, practical consequences.
Thank you. Mr. Swanson, you want to answer that?
Yes, thank you. Lee Swanson, 55 Hudson Road, member of the Sudbury Historic District Commission. Practical aspects of this being an historic district. Yes, the color of your home is, if you want to change it, it has to go before the Historic District Commission. If you want to add anything to the exterior that's viewed by the public from the street, it has to go before the commission. The findings are that in this state, this Commonwealth, is that being an historic district does increase the value of your home, and it's a place of pride. It's, as John speaks of it, a sense of place. And in our statement of the character of the town, this is a perfect example of the way life used to be: small homes on a street, a quiet street, and well named today because of the maple trees. There is a price to pay in the sense that you live in an historic district, but it's a small price to keep that look. To be able to go back in time and visit something that where perhaps you were born there or raised there, and it's a wonderful opportunity for this town to create this historic district. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Swanson. Yes, in the back there.
Mara Houston, Peckham Road.
Can you speak up a little bit?
Sorry, Mara Houston, Peckham Road. I took an opportunity to drive down Maple Ave today. I've got some friends who live on Maple Ave, and it really is quite a beautiful little street. And I know a couple years ago there was an issue with the development off the side of Maple Ave. I drove through what's constructed of that today also. What is the impact of that, of the original deal that was set up with that construction that I know the Maple Ave residents were not pleased with because it would affect the widest of the road or whatever. How does that play into this?
Ms. Salentino, would you like to answer that?
The development, Maple Meadows, has been constructed. And when we looked at the historic district, originally we thought about including the whole area. But when we talked to the developer, they didn't believe that it made sense to be in a historic district. And when we talked back again in the neighborhood, we really felt that the neighborhood should be shortened. The area should be more clearly historic and not necessarily engage the longer, the wider area. So we are hopefully good neighbors with the development. We hope that we are successful in living side by side, and we don't seem to have issues because we work them out during the public hearing process.
Thank you. Anybody else wish to be heard? I don't. Right back there, yes, sir.
Eric Richard, 363 Maynard Road. I have what might be a simple question. I saw a representative from the Sudbury Historical Commission. I didn't hear them weigh in one way or the other, although I assume they're in support of it, given they were speaking on behalf. Can they specifically state whether they endorse this article or not?
Sudbury, Mr. Swanson.
Sorry, I really didn't understand that question.
I think he wants to know whether the Sudbury Historical Society supports this commission. Support.
Commission.
Yes.
Historical Commission. Lynn McLean is out, still outside, I believe.
Is there anybody here? Yes, way over there.
Sudbury Historical Commission supports this issuing as a historic district. And I'm Liz Radowski, 358 Old Lancaster, and I'm a member of the Historic Commission.
Could I have your name and address, please?
Elizabeth Radowski, member of the Historic Commission, Old Lancaster Road.
Thank you. Anybody else wish to be heard? Could you put the motion back up on the view graph, please? Just want to make sure everybody sees the motion. This requires a two-thirds vote. This is what we're voting on. All those in favor, please raise your cards. Put them down. All those opposed, it passes unanimously. Thank you.
Article 38, Senior Tax Relief. Petitioner is Ralph Tyler. For a motion, please.
Good evening. Ralph Tyler, 1 Deacon Lane. I'd like to move the following home rule petition. Can I get this slide, please? And can I get a microphone from one of the staff so I can look at it? Yeah. Thank you. Okay. The other thing I'd like to do, just so in the warrant article, there isn't much of a description of the home rule petition, and I have about 100 copies. And maybe if I could get the scouts to hand them out, and since we have a little bit more than 100 here, maybe you could share one, you know, for two people, and I think we'll have enough. for those that I've given some of these to last night, there are a few small changes. So this replaces what was handed out last night. Gentlemen, and maybe you'd see if they get some up there on the front as well. And I'm told, because it's not in the warrant, that I do have to read it, and I apologize. It will just take a moment or two. So this is the home rule petition that we'll be voting on tonight. To the honorable members of the Massachusetts House of Representatives, the honorable members of the Massachusetts Senate, and the honorable Deval Patrick, Governor, from the residents of the town of Sudbury, pursuant to a vote of the 2008 Sudbury Annual Town Meeting, the Commonwealth of Massachusetts in the year 2008, preamble. Whereas the town of Sudbury at its 2003 Annual Town Meeting voted a home rule petition was to provide a senior citizen real estate tax exemption of 50% of the value of the average Sudbury residential property tax in order to reduce the property tax burden for Sudbury senior citizens age 60 and above who applied, to encourage them to remain in the community, adding to its vitality and character, after having determined that the high property taxes often force or encourage senior citizens to sell their homes and move out of Sudbury. Whereas said petition was submitted to the General Court by the Honorable Representative Susan Pope as House Bill 3909, and whereas said House Bill 3909 was not enacted. Whereas also in 2003, the Sudbury Selectmen established a Property Tax Equity Review Committee composed of 21 citizens from a cross-section of the community to further study the need for property tax relief. And whereas the 2004 Sudbury Town Meeting, after considering the results of a further year of study by the Property Tax Equity Review Committee, decisively rejected the use of income or assets as a means test in order for Sudbury senior citizens to qualify to receive a proposed property tax exemption. And whereas in 2003, Cambridge joined Boston and Somerville in providing a 30% residential exemption for the property taxes of the principal residents or all of their homeowners in order to encourage home ownership, regardless of their income, assets, or property value. That was Chapter 90 of the Acts of 2003. And whereas the average Sudbury senior citizen household income is far less than the average household income of Sudbury's non-senior households, whereas the average Sudbury senior citizen household pays a much higher proportion of their limited incomes for property taxes than non-senior households, and whereas the average Sudbury senior citizen household consumes few municipal service, and whereas this means that the average Sudbury senior citizen household, through its property taxes, is subsidizing the consumption of municipal service by its services by its more affluent non-senior households, and whereas the residents of the town of Sudbury believe that all of Sudbury's senior citizen resident homeowners should receive at least as much property tax relief as for their principal residents as Cambridge, Boston, and Somerville provide to all their homeowners. Therefore, the Sudbury 2008 Annual Town Meeting respectfully requests the legislature and the governor to defer to its understanding of the needs of Sudbury and of its senior citizens and promptly enact a 30% senior citizen residential exemption for Sudbury and to increase the exemption limits in Chapter 59, Section 5, Clauses 17D and E, 22, 37A, 41C, and 41D of Sudbury senior citizens by annual vote of town meeting as follows. And now this is some language: be enacted by the Senate and House of Representatives and the General Court assembled and by the authority of the same and signed into law by the governor the following. Senior residential exemption for Sudbury, Section 1, notwithstanding the provisions of Section 5C of Chapter 59 of the General Laws or any other general or special law to the contrary, with respect to each parcel of real property owned by a person age 60 and above, as classified as class one, residential, in the town of Sudbury, there shall be an exemption equal to 30% of the average assessed value for all class one residential parcels within the town of Sudbury, provided, however, that such an exemption shall be applied only to the principal residence of the taxpayers as used by the taxpayer for income tax purpose. This exemption shall be in addition to any exemptions allowable under Section 5 and Section 5C of Chapter 59 of the General Laws, provided, however, that in no instance shall the taxable valuation of such property after all applicable exemptions be reduced below 50% of its full fair cash valuation, except through the applicability of Section 8A of Chapter 58 and Clause 18 of said Section 5 of said Chapter 59, where under the provisions of Section 5, the exemption is based upon an amount of tax rather than on valuation. The reduction of taxable valuation for the purpose of the preceding sentence should be computed by dividing said amount of tax by the residential class tax rate for the town of Sudbury and multiplying the result by $1,000. For the purpose of this paragraph, parcel shall mean a unit of real property as defined by the assessors in accordance with the deed for such property and shall include a condominium unit. Section 2. A taxpayer to receive this exemption must apply for such residential exemption to the assessors in writing on a form approved by the Sudbury Board of Assessors within 3 months after the start of the fiscal year. Once qualified to receive a senior citizen residential exemption, taxpayer is not required to reapply in subsequent years. However, the Sudbury Board of Assessors may annually require that a taxpayer verify that the property continues to be the taxpayer's principal residence as used for income tax purposes. The residential exemption shall be equitably prorated if the qualifying resident sells the residence during the year, unless said sale is to another person qualified to receive said exemption. Other senior citizen exemption limits increased for Sudbury. Section 3. Notwithstanding the provisions of Chapter 73, Section 4 of the Acts of 1986, as amended by Chapter 126 of the Acts of 1988, to allow for an increase of up to 100% of the current statutory exemption amounts for the elderly, blind, veterans, and other allowable under Chapter 59, Section 5, Clauses 17D, 17E, 22, 37A, 41C, and 41D, by annual vote of town meeting. For Sudbury, the allowed base statutory exemption for Sudbury senior citizens age 60 and above shall be multiplied by the Sudbury tax factor and then subject to further increase by annual vote of town meeting. The Sudbury tax factor is the ratio of the prior year's average single-family residential property tax bill, including the CPA surcharge in Sudbury, divided by the prior year's average single-family residential property tax bill in Massachusetts, as reported by the Massachusetts Department of Revenue.
Does that receive a second? It does. Mr. Tyler for presentation.
Thank you. The rationale for action. Since 1988, if someone retired in 1988, they would have been paying property taxes somewhat around $2,700 a year. This year, if they were living in that average house, their property tax would be around $10,000. That's sort of hard to contemplate. People who may have thought back then that they'd be looking at property taxes in the $2,000 or $3,000 range, maybe going to $4,000 or something during their retirement, see it two and three and four times as high over their lifetime. And remember, seniors are living longer and longer and more responsible for their own retirement. If you're to project that trend for the future, someone who were to retire now at age 65 and lived about 25 years, would see their property tax bill towards their final years of retirement, if they stay in Sudbury, somewhere in the range of $40,000 to $54,000 a year. And again, I don't know how many of you have contemplated that and what the impact of that might be. That's pretty difficult for those on fixed incomes to comprehend and deal with, and that's the reality of where taxes have been going. So that says that, at least for seniors who are not engaged in the current work environment, not subject to whatever the current fads are and able to make current wages, that creates a tremendous problem. And therefore, if they're going to stay in Sudbury and not basically be begging for food, maybe something should be done about this. What happens as a result of this, and this is the other interesting thing, I updated some migration studies that were done 5 years ago with the Peacher Committee, and to see the turnover in Sudbury and what happens. And basically looking between the 2008 and the 2005 Sudbury census, this is sort of new people that have arrived and the age distribution of those people from 25 to 75. And of course, there's data below and above, but this is the primary areas. And if you net these flows, you get this as the profile of how the community changes. So we have a lot of net in-migration beginning in roughly about age 33 and somewhere starting in the late 40s, early 50s. What's going on is we have a continuation of people leaving Sudbury, but because people in that age group have aged out of the need to consume municipal educational services, many of them don't come in to replace those who leave. So we have this net outflow of seniors, and it's one of the things that keeps stoking the number of students in the schools and relentlessly increasing property taxes for everyone. So that's kind of the dynamic that's been going on. We've reached sort of in some ways a steady state as I looked at this data, because you keep having people that are sort of maturing into these age groups, and so they're replacing the ones that left, but it'd sure be nice to have some more encouragement for seniors to stay and build up that portion of the population. Like it was mentioned on the first night of town meeting that we're one of the highest proportion of young people in student age children in the Commonwealth, and it's because we're also one of the highest tax communities. And so, it's a real good value. We have great schools. It's terrific when you're a young family and you want to have the best for your children. The equation changes when you get a little bit older. So we're this magnet for young households. Definitely a lot of benefits to come to Sudbury. But then if you're transient and you're consuming these services and you leave, you've never paid your fair share of the burden. And that burden falls on those seniors who choose to remain as a vital part of this community. And that simply isn't fair. Just simply isn't fair. So for Sudbury senior citizens, they face this dilemma, the economic equation that was true for them when they came to town and others came to town before them, no longer it's a different equation. And so they get to retirement and they're in fixed income, reduced incomes in many cases, and the high property taxes that they're paying far exceed the benefits that their household is getting. So, economics is about choices, and a lot of people make those choices, and they just decide to move. And that's where we have that steady out-migration. This is looking back at the last census data that was available, which would be the 2000 census. And this is for Massachusetts, Middlesex County, and Sudbury. And Sudbury, in terms of, and you see the various age categories, and Sudbury has for those seniors age 65 to 74, it's the lowest household family income relative to average household income in the Commonwealth. In other words, in Sudbury, seniors are less affluent than in Middlesex County or in Massachusetts compared to the rest of the population in their town. So we have, again, that's the burden. So we're asking the seniors with these income statistics to bear the same burden as the younger, more affluent households who are using these educational services. And because their incomes are a lot less, they also don't get the advantage of quite the same benefit from federal income tax write-offs. So that's another reason why they're paying more for their taxes. So again, another reason to do something about this. What this all means is that generally less affluent senior citizens are paying a larger fraction of their income on property taxes. And in doing so, they're subsidizing the educational consumption of their far more affluent younger neighbors. And now I'm going to try and estimate what the cost and the value of seniors and keeping seniors in Sudbury is. And so there's roughly around 1,300 senior households in Sudbury, age 60 and above, and about 4,000 non-senior households. And then if you just look at the ratio of number of kids coming from the Warrant in the K through 8 system in Lincoln Sudbury, so a lot of people use, you know, two kids per house or something like that. I'm trying to be conservative here in terms of not overstating the value of seniors, but I calculate that for all the non-senior households, there's about 1.15 students in the school system for each of those households. So, you know, senior household moves out and they're replaced by one of these average non-senior households. You get about 1.15 students. Those are the costs for per student. Costs about $12,000 to educate them, that average non-senior household. 1,319 of them costs about, you know, if the seniors all left town and they were replaced by average families in the, you know, in the community, we'd have educational costs about $16.3 million higher. So another way of looking at seniors is that by occupying their homes, they're saving us, saving this community $16.3 million in extra educational expenses. And then, of course, they're paying their taxes as well, about $11 million a year. Having these seniors in Sudbury basically provides about a $27 million benefit to the town by my calculation. And what do we do? You know, we get excited. We want to do things for seniors. So we allocate this year in the fiscal year, $164,000 to seniors in the Council on Aging. Now, remember, they're paying about $11 million a year in taxes. And then in tough budget times, we cut that down to $139. We don't even give them a bus driver in terms of the priorities. So that's not showing, you know, sort of that we're, let's say, valuing the senior community and trying to provide and enhance their services. So there's also a need to enhance the statutory exemptions that we currently have, and that basically Sudbury is out here on the curve. This is the total of 315 Massachusetts towns, the average tax bill. Surprisingly enough, there are some communities in Sudbury with property taxes less than $1,000 average a year. North Adams is one of the low ones. Roe is another one. I think they have a big nuclear plant up there that subsidizes them. Yeah, but they still pay taxes.
Mr. Tyler? Mr. Tyler?
Yes.
10 minutes are up. Can you give me some idea of how much longer you wish to speak? How much time in terms of minutes?
I would say about 3.
Okay. Let me just ask the hall. Is it okay if Mr. Tyler speaks for another 3 minutes? If you agree, raise your cards, please. Those opposed, keep going, Mr. Tyler.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Thank you. In Massachusetts, on the other hand, so we saw where Sudbury is. We know we're about $10,000 a year. If you look in the warrant at the end, you see that for the average house in Sudbury, it's $10,200 in the budget that we just passed. But this is going back now to 2007. This is data coming from charts that were prepared by Massachusetts DOR. So you notice how they have those pretty bar graphs. I don't know how to do that, so I got that as their chart. So the average tax in Massachusetts for the communities that they were able to report, there are some communities they don't have data on, it's about $4,000. And so what that means for the statutory exemptions, and that's for people who are blind, that's for disabled veterans who maybe have lost a leg, disabled, more than 10% disabled, there's several other categories in there. What that means is that if, for example, the tax in the state is $4,000 on average and their exemption with this 100% that we vote every year, if that exemption went up to $1,000, it would represent a 25% reduction in the tax for someone living in the average town, but the veterans, the disabled veterans or the blind in Sudbury, because we have such higher taxes, would only get a 10% reduction. And so part of the proposal that I read to you is to adjust it so that those who qualify for these statutory exemptions would also get roughly about 25% exemption as well. So be in relationship to Sudbury taxes to other taxes. So I believe that what's proposed and what we have in this home rule petition is a rational solution for Sudbury, and that's the 30% senior citizen residential exemption and a higher statutory exemption using the Sudbury tax factor that I just described. There's in the law right now, there is a residential exemption, as I mentioned. It's established part of the code, and the only criteria to benefit from it is that you own your own home, and it's your primary residence. It's independent of income or other assets, but it is an equal exemption for everyone. And so that means that if someone is living in a very expensive home, they get a very small percentage tax reduction. Someone living in a very small home or in one of the lower income condominiums that we have, a Frost Farm or something like that, it might represent 50% of the property tax reduced because we limited it to no more than 50% reduction. Depending on how many people would apply for this, we have just different numbers here about the impact on the average house. Could be anywhere from, if there were 500 that applied, it'd be about $242 a year would be the cost. To provide this commitment to seniors, a commitment of equity and fairness, because they're just not getting the service, and to try to get them to stay in Sudbury. For the statutory exemptions, there are means tests and there are status, you know, whether you're blind or disabled veteran or perhaps the widow of a deceased veteran who was killed in combat, etc. The Sudbury tax factor would be approximately 2.5. It would cost no more than about $293,000 to do this. And I say no more than because it's sort of complex how these exemptions are calculated by the assessing departments. And it just depends on this 100% that we vote every year, up to 100%. I thought it meant actually 100%, and it doesn't, because there's some kind of qualifying words in the statutes where the next year you can't have a lower tax than the previous year, and somehow or another it means it's not 100%. And so this is assuming that it was 100%. And so the 100%, basically we spend the 100% cost is about $50,000 a year, which isn't 100% of the previous numbers, which totaled $57,000. But I just multiplied that by 2.5 and said that's what the cost is. So I think this overstates the cost of doing the right thing for those who qualify for the statutory exemptions. Thank you.
You all set, Mr. Tyler?
Yes.
Thank you. Can we hear from the Finance Committee?
Yes, sir. The Finance Committee does not recommend approval. There's no income test to qualify, which means that a wealthy homeowner over the age of 60 who doesn't need the tax break will get it, whereas a younger homeowner under the age of 60 who might be struggling will not. Secondly, and probably equally important, this article was not delivered to us until last night, so we really had no chance to review and question the financial impact or conduct an independent review of the assertions and assumptions behind it. Thank you.
Thank you. I understand Trevor Hayden is here for the Board of Assessors.
The Board of Assessors, like the FinCom, has not had an opportunity to meet and discuss the...
Just closer to the mic.
The Board of Assessors, like the FinCom, has not had an opportunity to meet and discuss the article, and consequently is not in a position to endorse or be in favor or not be in favor of this article.
Thank you. Selectman, please.
Selectman, officially take no position on this proposal, but have some comments to explain, and our comments are really along the lines of what you've heard from the Finance Committee and from the assessors. We were handed the draft of this this evening at 7:30. Yesterday we got a copy at about 7:30, although we were told tonight there were differences between the two. And, of course, in the amount of time I've been able to sit here, I haven't been able to find those differences yet. We do believe that there is a problem with taxes and the amount of taxes to run the town, and that is primarily because three-quarters of our taxes go to educate our children, and we don't get sufficient revenues from the state for education, and that's the major problem. The selectmen have been in favor of senior tax relief efforts, and Article 20 that was discussed on Monday evening and passed by this town meeting is an example of a proposal that had broad work throughout the year by a committee of people who volunteered to work on it and share their work amongst the community. And when they brought it to town meeting voted favorably. We think this is a complicated area. It requires study. It requires, or it should have, to town meeting the benefit of analysis. We've been unable to provide that because we've only gotten this proposal tonight. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody wish to be heard on Article 38? Yes, right here.
Yeah. Hello, I'm Richard Bell. I live at 24 Austin Road. I'm a senior, and I've lived in the town since 1963. And I'd like to make several points in strong opposition to this article. Now, first on the taxes. If you look at I went back and looked at tax bills. The earliest bill I was able to find was in 1968. And if I do a correction for inflation, I found that up to date, there's been little or no increase in my property tax, despite a few modest in household improvements. The value of my house has substantially exceeded inflation, so on that basis, I'm well ahead of the game. Effectively, my tax rate has gone down. We have had four children here in Sudbury and went through the whole school system from grade one through Lincoln Sudbury and got an excellent education. Our taxes came nowhere near to paying for the schooling for these children. Now, who was paying for them? Maybe it was some of the seniors, for which I say thank you. Now it's my turn. I have no problem paying for education for children that are in the schools now. Any money used for the schools just makes a better town, state, or country. When I really needed tax relief was when I had two kids in college and two more in high school, when I was, you know, middle-aged there. I'm sure that many Sudbury residents are now in a similar situation. Property tax relief for seniors is going to really hurt the middle-aged families with large education or other bills. They'll have to pay much more. I am in favor of means-tested senior tax deferral, as outlined, say, in Article 20, or as is going to be helped by the CPA, other CPA articles. But I oppose general senior tax relief. Finally, many of the seniors, in fact, most of the seniors I know who have left town were motivated to move either by a milder climate, such as go to the Cape or Florida, or else to be near children or grandchildren, or because of health issues. Taxes, while important, are not the major issue. For these reasons, I oppose Article 38.
Thank you. Anybody else wish to be heard on Article 38? Yes, way in the back of the hall against the AV room.
Roger Nichols, 220 Old Lancaster Road.
I can't hear you, sir.
Roger Nichols, 220 Old Lancaster Road.
Okay.
I have two questions. The first is, do we know how many non-seniors have no children in the schools? I'm one. Do we know also, is there a reason why the seniors would not apply for the petition? And is what happens if there's one person who's over 60 and one person who's under 60 in the house?
Okay. Mr. Tyler? Did you catch both those questions? Okay.
If the owner, if there's, you know, one of the owners is over 60, they qualify. It doesn't apply to the younger households. That's just the way that it's set up. Because, again, there is this difference about when people are in retirement and their incomes tend to become more fixed. And if I might, I'll wait for the rest of the comments.
I think there was a second part of this question, which was, is it automatically to every senior of a citizen, or do they have to apply for it?
You have to apply, and those people, Mr. Bell, for example, who doesn't feel like he needs that to stay in Sudbury, he's free now to apply. And I've heard many seniors who believe, as he does, that, you know, with four children, he's certainly used more services than the average family, and he may feel that debt that many of the other seniors don't. So he doesn't have to apply, and any of the seniors who feel similarly also don't have to apply. But there is this economic dynamic at work, and we do see it. And I think some seniors may even talk tonight about their plans to move because of that dynamic.
Thank you. Anybody else wish to be heard on Article 38? Yes, this gentleman here, could you stand up, please?
I'm Thomas Young, 101 Stock Farm Road, better name is Tucker. I voted many times. Well, first of all, I'd like to clear up one point. There's not a thing called fixed income. On pension and Social Security, they never increase with the rate of inflation. So the people with a fixed income are actually on a lower income every year. That's the point that I want to make clear. I voted here a number of times, my card at polling places, and now I'm going to vote with my feet. I'm voting with my feet. I've sold my house, moving to Marietta, Georgia, where there's no school tax for people over, this is the state of Georgia, no school tax for people over 62. And maybe our ancestors voted for schools when they were there, but they didn't live much beyond 62 if they lived that long. So anyway, I'm set up for the tax increases. I can buy a condominium in Georgia. It's bigger than my house. And Marietta, Georgia is considered one of the 10 best towns to live in the country. I think it's because they have three libraries and lots of golf courses. But I couldn't find another good reason. But it looks very good to me. I regret leaving the town because a lot of friends here. We've had a lot of fun here. But economically, it's all to our advantage. The place I'm buying in Georgia is larger than my own my current house. The taxes and condominium fees are less than 60% of my school, of my taxes in Sudbury. So it makes a very attractive proposition to ground. I'm going to get quite a raise so I can do some traveling and spend money in ways I like to spend it from the gain. Besides that, it's warmer, and the doctor says with my heart, I had a little heart problem, and my wife's difficulties, we're better off in warmer weather. So we sort of say goodbye. It's been good to know you, as they say. I'll just check my points and my notes to see if I've left anything out. So, if we get in the 30-second time break, you said? Goodbye. Anyway, I feel this is a very good proposal. I'm all in favor of it, and maybe other people will get the relief. If I had that relief, there's a very good chance I would still stay here. I just have one other comment. One of the things that upsets me right now, I'm selling my house, but not at the assessed evaluation by a long shot. So there's another thing we get hit by is a high assessed evaluations. So I'm losing, taking a big cut to sell my house well below the assessed valuation that I've been paying taxes on for 37 years. And I'm now 83, so I want to live in nice peace and quiet and low taxes in Georgia. Incidentally, the Georgia state income tax is also lower than Massachusetts. So combined with the property tax, I'll be in good shape. And thank goodness for my wise investments many years ago, because Social Security and pension don't aren't enough for a nice standard of living. Any questions?
No, no. Thank you very much.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Mr. Moderator.
Yes. Bye-bye. Town Manager Maureen Valente.
I just wanted to add, in case somebody gets worried that we are losing the Council on Aging van service, because that is not true. The Board of Selectmen signed an agreement with the Metro West Transit Regional Transit Authority, and it will be now being provided through a contract. The town has been assessed about $100,000 a year for the last few years. It was higher than that in the past. By the MBTA, we got no services. Through this arrangement, that with the Selectmen voting to join this, that $100,000 will now go to that Regional Transit Authority. Not only will we continue the van service, but the Council on Aging has taken the lead to make sure we will, in the future, have even enhanced transit services here for seniors and those disabled and people who need another way of getting to appointments, doing things like that. And I didn't want anyone to leave thinking that service was gone.
Anybody else wish to be heard? Yes, in front here.
Chris Morley, 321 Old Lancaster Road. I'm speaking as myself, but I am going to talk about the Community Preservation Committee that you've heard me speak about the last two nights, if you were here both nights. One thing that I detailed in my too lengthy speech last night was that we tried to vet all of the things that come before you for an entire year before we get here. And I can't remember if it ended up staying in the speech, but most of the articles that we've approved in the last 5 years or 6 years now for the CPA have actually been in the works, as it were, for well over a year. They go to the most appropriate committees in town. They go through our committee. A lot of work and effort and double-checking and triple-checking happen before they ever come before us here. Mr. Tyler, repeatedly in my lifetime, he obviously thinks it's a good strategy, but he shows up at the night of town meeting. He likes to be at the end of town meeting when no one's here, and he gives us something that no one's seen before. He's done it before, and I ask you to reject it again tonight.
Yes, right there, please.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Moderator. Helen Marie Casey, 85 Poconoket. I have 3 points I would like to make, and I would like to speak against this proposition. First of all, I think it's well-intentioned, and I think we all would like not to pay high property taxes. But I think there's a significant logic flaw here. We're one community, and every time I hear us divide into the young and the old, it makes me very uneasy. If we allocated taxes according to the services we use, and I'm sorry I have a cold, I sound a little awkward here, we'd have to wear a meter or something on us and say every time we used a town road, we ought to be assessed a tax. Every time we called the fire department, we ought to be assessed something. Every time we needed a police officer, we ought to be assessed something. That doesn't make any sense to me. We all, as Mr. Bell said, have, or if not all, many of us have educated children here. We've benefited from that. If anybody needs tax relief as much as seniors, I think it's the young people. They not only are paying for schools, they're paying fees much in excess of what we ever did. And so I would like to say that certainly we need relief, and we're putting mechanisms in place, but I don't think it should be only for seniors. Thank you.
Anybody else wish to be heard on Article 38? Yes, over there near the aisle. Stand up, please.
Mara Houston, Peckham Road. I'm also speaking as a member of MICA, which is a social action committee in Sudbury and Framingham. MICA supported Article 20, senior tax deferral. We reviewed the information and came with analysis that gave really good reasons to support Article 20, and we're very proud of that support. Based on that evaluation that I've done, I've got some data to contradict some of the data that Mr. Tyler has presented. If I look at the slide that he presented about the average income of the seniors lower than the other Middlesex County age groups, if you look at that slide, every age group in Sudbury is lower on average than every age group in Middlesex County. The per student expenses per Sudbury Public Schools, $8.9K, not 10 point something. And then the high school is $13.4K. Those statistics come off the state education site. As Maureen mentioned, Micah was supporting of the the Metro West RTA. And at RTA, it does cover now the senior aging busing. And I'm glad that's working out because Micah was one of the supporting members of that organization. As far as senior tax deferral and the committee report that they did, they came with an evaluation of their 870 senior homes based on the census. I'm too sure why Tyler came up with a larger number than that. Also about age migration, many of the seniors in Sound now had children starting in their 20s. I can speak for many people I know had their children in their late 30s and 40s, and as we approach senior citizen age, our kids are just graduating high school and college. So we're going to be breathing a sigh of relief of getting out of college expenses. We're nowhere near the point of being able to move out of town when we're 70 because we're still going to be kind of unwinding from all those extreme expenses. So I urge you to consider all the issues when you decide your vote.
Anybody else? Yes, on the aisle here on the right.
Thank you, Mr. Moderator. Dave Levington, Knobscot Road. It's always difficult speaking against an article that's in favor of seniors for any reason, but I am speaking against this one. You'll notice that the Council on Aging had no opinion on this because they haven't seen it any more than the selectmen of the Finance Committee have. But I have, and I've seen it enough to say that I'm against it, and I'm speaking for myself. I worked with Mr. Tyler at times, and we've agreed, and I'd like to compliment him on his presentation, especially audiovisually. But I agree with most of the facts, but not the conclusions. The major thing I think would make sense, a great deal of sense, is a residential exemption. It's a nice way to change the taxes in a town, and I would hope sometime we would consider a residential exemption. Not necessarily for seniors. The reason that they have them in Cambridge and Boston and Somerville and Worcester is to encourage private homes and shift the tax burden to apartments. We don't have apartments here to shift the burden to. So if we have a residential exemption, it shifts the burden from the lower assessed homes to higher assessed homes. That's not a bad thing if the town agrees to it. In this particular case, I think the major weakness in Mr. Tyler's presentation, which I think of as Article 54 Redux, it's the same as 5 years ago, is that there's no asset or income limitations. So in effect, we're going to be shifting the burdens from people over 60 to people under 60. And most of what Mr. Tyler showed you is correct as far as averages. But what I'd like to show you is from the deferral report that was referred to earlier. The averages hide a lot. The red button?
I can't read it either.
Aha, there it is. This page shows the incomes here in Sudbury. This page shows, this is information we got from the Department of Revenue in preparing for the deferral, and it shows the range of incomes of people under 65. You'll see it says renters excluded. This is homeowners. And as you'll see, many of us are very fortunate. There are 135 families here making over $1 million a year. And the numbers go down. But if you look at this column, you'll see our average incomes are very high. However, not everybody has high incomes. If we look at the summaries down here at the bottom, there are 2,000 tax returns under $50,000. Well, there may be 1,000 of those, maybe children in the families, but not all of them are. We have a lot of people under the age of 65 with low incomes. Mark, can I see the other slide? Here, on the other hand, is the same information. This is for the year 2004 for people over the age of 65. Now, it's a little deceptive in that this is taken from the Massachusetts Department of Revenue, and we don't declare our Social Security income over 65. So the folks over 65 have about 20% higher incomes than this in general. Nevertheless, there are over $100,000, 175 senior families. This article before you would give them a tax break to be paid for by the younger families. I don't support that. If the Council on Aging had a chance to vote on this, I'm sure they would not support it. And I don't think we should support it. If by any chance this should pass and be taken to the legislature, we'd be laughed out of the State House as we were 5 years ago. I think you can imagine representatives from Lynn and Salem and Revere and Chelsea being asked to approve something which would transfer a tax burden from low-income property owners to high-income property owners. Mr. Tyler has, as always, pointed out a real problem. But I think most of us knew that property taxes in Sudbury were a problem. It's a problem to all of us. It's a problem we've addressed in many ways. And in trying to address it for seniors 5 years ago under the PTURC committee, we learned a little of history that might help to understand this. I'll take one more minute. If you've been watching the John Adams Chronicles, when we were studying taxes 5 years ago, I Googled the Abigail Adams, John Adams letters, and he wrote to Abigail and said, "The secret of our success here in Massachusetts compared to Virginia is that Governor Winthrop required every town to maintain a school. That's what made Massachusetts great," he thought. Well, he wrote our Constitution. So our Constitution does not say the state must maintain schools. The Constitution says the towns must maintain schools. That's why we can't have the kind of bill they have in New York or Texas that says once you're age 65, your school taxes are frozen. You can't have anything that limits your taxes to those age 65. Those of us who are over 65 have to pay our share of the taxes based on our income, just as the younger people do. That's the way it's been, and that's the way I think it will stay unless we have a constitutional amendment. This bill addresses very important issues, but I think it's misstated, and I urge you to defeat it.
Thank you. Mr. Jacobson over here.
Thank you, Mr. Murray. Just 2 points. One, our legislators have told us very clearly that the legislature is not going to entertain any home rule petition on a senior tax exemption that is not means tested. And the next point, just to bring to people's attention, is I don't know if the legislature will want to take up a home rule petition right now on a senior tax exemption because the House has already passed a senior tax exemption in the last couple of months, and it's sitting with the Senate, which would give taxpayers who make less than $60,000, actually seniors who make less than $60,000, whose taxes are greater than real estate taxes are greater than 10% of their income, this bill that they're trying to get passed would exempt all those seniors from any overrides that a town passes. So I just don't know if they're going to want to take something up from a home rule petition when right now they're trying to get one passed statewide.
Could I see by a show of hands anybody who wants to add something new to the discussion? I see one hand. Any others? Mr. Tyler, how long will you be speaking for? You got it. We're going to allow one more speaker, and then we'll call the question. 90 seconds.
In January, I met with a selectman and was looking for a dialogue and leadership with a selectman. I got a cold shoulder and no interest, dead on arrival. Since 2003, we've known we've had a problem. The selectmen, I thought, were in good faith.
Ralph, I want you to talk to why people should vote for this motion, not why the selectmen aren't good guys.
No. I'm talking
stick
about
to
the,
why we should
I'm
vote for this
about
motion.
The criticism about why this is late. It's because it is filling the gap of lack of leadership by this town to do something meaningful. There's always another study. There's always something wrong with the proposals. And if you put something up there early, then they marshal around it and tell you why it's wrong. So I don't think this is perfect. But I think it's a lot better than having somebody be faced with $500,000 or $600,000 of accumulated tax debt by the time they're 85 or 90 if they've deferred taxes from day one, which is what the town thinks that they should do. I simply don't think that they should have to pay those extra taxes, and those who feel they want to don't have to apply. So I urge you, ignore the comments about, you know, he didn't get their input and whatnot, because this has all been, it's dead on arrival. I met with the Finance Committee as well, and while they were respectful, I didn't see a lot of enthusiasm to embrace this. So I just, so in the absence of leadership, I try to do what I can do. And this is my proposal. I'd like your support.
All those in favor of Article 38 signify by raising your cards. All those opposed, it's defeated by more than two-thirds. It does, the Article 38 fails. Do I have a motion to dissolve the 2008 annual town meeting? Yes, I do. Do I have a second? All those in favor signify by raising your cards. It passes. Thank you all very much.
You better go to bed, right? Thank you, Chuck. Great job.
Great job, Chuck.
Great job. Do it again next year.
Yes. Nobody else will take the job.
But you got a lot of good people behind you.
A little bit older in this audience. I said, oh, my God. Oh, man, you get a lot of so articulate.
I threw her in. I know. Oh, God. You guys got a lot of people. Yeah, because you know what? You just have to be second year.
You've got to have a preference.
Friday's not good for me because I'm in the western part of the state, so I. What time is Lynn available? Oh, in the evening?
Hold on.
Yeah, it's up here.
All right.
Good.